We welcome you to Home Church. My name is Andy. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you are new here, we welcome you. There is a welcome card in front of you. It's a connect card. If you want to journey with Jesus in an intentional way, we want you to fill out that card. You can put it into the offering box or give it to someone friendly. And we will partner with you as you journey with Jesus and what he has for you. The second thing we do is we take sermon notes. It's an opportunity to not only hear the word, but to apply God's word in your life for the day and for the week, as well as it's on our church app if you want, and all the details will be on our church website as well. Have you ever gone to a movie theater and watched a movie in 3D? You have to get 3D glasses to do so. And when you get those 3D glasses, you got to put those 3D glasses on. And for me as a kid, every time I put those 3D glasses on, the movie came alive, right? Like you saw an image that wasn't just one-dimensional, but three-dimensional. It came to life. And as soon as you took the glasses off, the screen behind you or as you're watching it was blurred. But when you go to a theme park like Disneyland or Disney World, there's actually 5D rides. Have you ever been to those rides? Where it feels like real life. And so one of those rides we went was the Islands of Adventure. It's a theme park at Universal Studios. And I remember my wife and I going on this ride of Jurassic Park. And as you go into the ride, anyone here been to Jurassic Park, Islands of Adventure? One person. Awesome. We're both friends in the room. You know what ride I'm talking about. If you haven't seen Jurassic Park, it's a famous movie from 1994. And anyway, you go through this ride, and the pinnacle of the ride is the T-Rex is about to eat the boat, okay? And you go down this tube, and it's a big splash into the water ride, blah, blah, blah. It's all good. But what's great about the ride is it's kind of like a 5D ride. You get to experience all the senses. I want to encourage you today that when you know Jesus Christ, life turns into a five-dimensional reality. It's not just a knowing of Jesus Christ, which is one-dimensional. Everything that seemed dull is now in color because of who Jesus is. And if you want to know Jesus, the best way to know Jesus is through his word. And I encourage you, as we go through a new sermon series of an extraordinary God, an ordinary life like you and I, to read the book of Acts. Because you'll see in 5D dimension how great God is in our ordinary lives. It's not some, you know, sequence or some simulation that we go through in life. It becomes like color. So we have to ask ourselves, what is the book of Acts? It's in the Bible. I encourage you to read it. And the book of Acts is really all about the Acts of the Holy Spirit, or the early fathers of the church. And we see these extraordinary acts of God working through ordinary people, just like you and me today. The Holy Spirit continues to work in our lives. And so this summer series, you're going to hear from Joe, from our interns, Isabel and Devin. They're going to talk about what it means to be ordinary, yet see the extraordinary work of God. You're going to hear from our pastors, Pastor Elise, Pastor Christian from Summit, and Pastor Vincent about what God has done. And there's evidence of what people do in the New Testament. So you're going to hear about Simon the Sorcerer, who was really famous at one time and tried to buy the Holy Spirit. Can't buy the Holy Spirit, by the way. Holy Spirit is just given to us. Ananias and Sapphira. You're going to hear about Priscilla and Aquila, Lydia, women being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Stephen, who had the first message in the New Testament church. And others who God empowers and reveals for supernatural reasons. The same is with you and me today in everyday, ordinary life. The best way I could put it today is like this digital device. This digital device is just some high-pressure glass with some plastic, and it gives me opportunity to function and connect anytime, any place, anywhere. But it doesn't reach its full potential unless it's connected to a power source. It means nothing if it's not connected. It's the same with you and I. Life becomes color when we're connected with the Holy Spirit, when we're powered by the Holy Spirit, when we're led by the Holy Spirit. And we see this in a supernatural way as we talked about, that God does supernatural acts through ordinary people. But that's not just the case if you read the book of Acts. The extraordinary acts of God are designed to propel God's mission to the entire world. It's not just enough to experience God or to feel God, but it's to follow God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we see in the book of Acts that this is kind of the pinnacle, if you ever read it, but it's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and it says this: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." So witnesses here is a reflection or a mirror of someone. So the empowering of the Holy Spirit propels you on God's mission for your marriage, for example, or for your kids, or for your school, or for your teammates, for your neighbors. When I'm at the gym, I can still mirror Jesus Christ, just like you and I, as we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you see that the Holy Spirit comes upon all flesh to see God's mission for the entire world. So what's God's mission? Well, God's mission is for everyone to experience salvation. Salvation, and that's what we're going to talk about a little bit later today. But if you are not in a saving relationship with Jesus, just knowing him isn't enough. It's actually experiencing and encountering and being led by Jesus Christ. So if you know me a bit, I like to go to the gym, and this week I hit a PR. A PR means a personal record. And when you hit a personal record, you got to show off a bit, okay? So I put my personal record of the weight that I did online. I put it on my socials for everyone to see. And, you know, I put a little post there. And I got all these likes and all these comments. But I got a comment from someone who wasn't coming to church for some time, who got saved in my youth ministry about 20 years ago, who reached out to me on social media and asked me about Jesus and asked me about, hey, you know, the strength that you have, like, man, that's pretty good for an old man. He was making fun of me. And so we had this conversation about Jesus and what he's doing with life. And for the first time, he was talking about how everything that the world had to offer him made life dull, made life bored. And he's like, there's got to be more to life than this. And I realized it when I was in youth, but now I want to come back to Jesus. He doesn't live in this city. He goes to another city. So I encouraged him to start going to church. I was got a text from someone this week, too, about, can you reach out to my husband? I want to pause here. It's no husbands in this room, okay? So a wife reached out to me saying, Pastor Andy, can you reach out to my husband? He just retired. He doesn't know what to do with his life. He's wealthy. He's been a great businessman, but he's super angry. He's angry with life. He's angry with his stage and age of life. And I'm like, man, I wish I had all the money in the world and was retired. I would live on some beach. But for him, he's wrestling through these things. Can you reach out to them or to him? So I said to the wife, and this is just between you and I today, and for everyone who's listening, is as a pastor, I am limited as a person. I can't save anyone. I can't change anyone. I just build relationship. And if someone gets a random text from a pastor, they sometimes think, oh, why is Pastor Andy reaching out to me? Like, did I do something wrong? Is he asking for money? Like, what is he doing? And so I prayed about it. And as the Holy Spirit whispered to me, I had some simple words. I knew him by name. I met with him twice already. And so I'm like, hey, just wanted to reach out to you. I hope you're doing well. Congratulations on retirement. If you ever want to go out for a coffee, feel free to go out with a coffee with me. Open invitation. Left it at that. I hope you have a great week. Didn't hear from him. Didn't hear from him except for late last night. And he sends a text. And I want to read this text to you, okay? I was going to put it on the screen, but it was late last night. This is what he said. Sorry for the late text and slow to get back to you. My excuse is I'm busy. But initially, I just am forgetful. Thank you for reaching out. If it fits your modus operandi, that's how he said it, I'll contact you for a beer or a coffee. See you soon. You see, he accepted my invitation over a coffee, not a beer. And it's an opportunity for me to be Jesus in relationship with one another. One last quick story. Got my hair cut this week. And as you go meet with your barber, you always have conversations with your barber, if you know these things, men. And you talk about sports, you talk about maybe your relationships, you talk about work. Well, right away, mine went to spirituality. Because the woman who's cutting my hair, she's like, hey, what do you do for work? And most times I'm like, well, I'm a consultant. Or, you know, I work with next-gen people, which I do. You know, I travel for work. But this time I thought, I'm just going to say I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor of Home Church in Vancouver. So that's what I said. She's like, really? You're a pastor? I am so honored to cut the hair of a pastor. And for 35 minutes, she would not stop talking. I'm serious. I'm like, how do I get out of this? Like, do I get a free haircut for this counseling session I'm doing with this lady in the middle of all these other people who are looking at us? Why are you talking about Jesus? But she talked about the power of prayer. She's like, I'm not a follower of Jesus at first, but I would pray. I was desperate for things. And so she would pray, and she's like, God would show up. And then I became a follower of Jesus. So she's like, Pastor, as she's cutting my hair, and I'm like 35 minutes in, she's like, can you pray? Can you pray for my husband? He's just retired. I don't know what's up with these retired men. They're bored and angry and tired. Come to church. In fact, if you're listening to this, I'll make you a volunteer pastor. You can help me. In any case, he's like, can you pray? Because he just finished his job and we're not making enough money, but I know God's going to provide. Can you just please pray? Then she's like, can you pray for my daughter? She's trying to get pregnant. She can't get pregnant. I know God's going to answer prayer, but can you pray for my daughter? I'm like, okay, let's just pray right here. Okay, I'm going to pray with you as you're cutting my hair. She's like, really? I am so honored. I want to share with this to you today, because I have not experienced this for 20 years of ministry. People are more receptive and open to the gospel like never before. Why? Because that's the Holy Spirit at work. As you follow Jesus, he's going to give you opportunity to be Jesus to others. And it doesn't have to be weird or cheesy. It just is simple, comes out in a natural way, like your haircut and your barber, or a random text, or a social media post. This can happen to you. Why? Because nothing can humanly stop or hinder the extraordinary works of God. When you read the book of Acts, nothing stops God. Not human intent, not the evil in the world, not the darkness of the cosmos can stop God's work. Because the gospel is everything. Now, let me pause. Maybe you're here today and you don't know what the gospel means. Gospel actually means good news. This is not on your sermon notes, but you can put it on your sermon notes if you want. In fact, I would say it's the best news. And the gospel was actually trademarked, if I could put it that way, by Pastor Paul. He's an apostle in the New Testament. And he simply says that Jesus came to die for our sins. He came from heaven to earth. He's God. And he came to die our sins because sin equals death, and we can't fix sin. We can't change sin. We can't manage sin. You can try, but you cannot be transformed or changed that way. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord, personal Savior. And as you do, you are now in a lifelong discipleship process. Discipleship is a big word that means to follow Jesus and to be like Jesus. But nothing can stop humanly. Governments, all the money and the power of the world cannot stop the power of God. You see that in the book of Acts. So I encourage you this summer, if you want to know who God is, you want to know how he works, go through the pages of Acts. There's 28 chapters. You can read one chapter a day. It will absolutely encourage you because nothing can stop God from his work. Even when you don't feel it or see it, God is always at work. And I want to show you an example in Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. We see in this passage of scripture that one day Peter and John were going to the temple for a time of prayer. So Peter and John are apostles. They are followers of Jesus. They were Jesus' best friends on planet Earth. And they went at 3:00 in the afternoon. So there was certain times you would go to the temple for prayer. It's like us on a Sunday morning before Sunday services. There's a time of prayer. In the second service, there's a time of prayer. And now there was a man lame from birth. If you are taking notes, you want to circle that because he's lame from birth. He's been born that way. He doesn't know any other thing other than being lame, which means he couldn't walk. And people would carry him to the temple called Beautiful, this gate. And every day he was put there during the times of prayer, he would beg for people to give him money. When he saw Peter and John about to enter into that gate, Beautiful, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So let me pause here for really quickly. I don't know if Peter and John had, like, you know, a Rolex watch. More likely they didn't. And they're, you know, they're not like in this BMW scrolling down the street. They didn't have the latest and greatest. They're like, "Hey, look at us. Like, we don't have it all. We don't have everything." But what they did have was the Holy Spirit. So Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, thinking that he would give them money. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." And there's this supernatural reality that happens. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantaneously the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts. Again, this is really important to realize. Walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. So we want to pause here really quickly and say to ourselves, what is God actually doing here? Like, when you look at it, it is a supernatural act. Only God could do these things. You and I couldn't. There's no social security at this time. There's no wheelchairs back then. There is no electrical wheelchair that I hope that I have later on in life. But in any context here, people had to beg. People had at the mercy of others. But let me share really quickly what this jumps out to you and I as well. The lame beggar had an ordinary day when the extraordinary met him. He was just doing his own thing. He was not seeking Jesus. He was not seeking anything other than his own ways. And yet God shows up. We actually don't know what Luke is calling the gate Beautiful, but it is a gate where Gentiles and women that were not Jewish would be allowed to worship God. So this is a segregated context, but we see that for whatever reason, we don't know unless we meet John and Luke and all these people in heaven, why they went through this gate. But they would keep going through that gate, and this person would be there because he wasn't allowed at other gates. But we do know that once he was at this gate, he was there to ask for money. His identity, his purpose in life was to be a beggar and to make money that way. Sometimes it's the same with us. We might not beg for money or do our own thing, but sometimes our identity is based on our conditions rather than the one who wants to meet with us, named Jesus. So we tend to base our identity on who we are more than what Jesus says we are. We base our identity, especially in culture, based on our conditions of life or social economic realities, our sexuality, our preference, our education. Whatever that looks like for you, this is our world, but Jesus has an identity for you, and it's the very center of who you are. It's your spirit. It's your soul. And we see that Jesus offers a better way. He is now whole because the lame beggar was transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. This wasn't just a physical healing for this man. He was made whole in Christ Jesus. And I want to encourage you today as you follow Jesus that this is true as mature followers. God doesn't always answer us based on what we want, but he does answer us based on what he wants to do in and through us at all times. This is important and a greater reality as followers of Jesus, that the extraordinary work of the Holy Spirit in our ordinary lives is to make God known through transformation, not just a transaction. You see, the beggar was looking for a transaction. The Holy Spirit invited him into transformation. There's a difference. Sometimes we look for God to make us better, to make my life better. And when it's not better, then we don't necessarily know what to do because we see God as transactional. But we're called to see Jesus as transformational. And I'll go through this with this man. But when we are transformed, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Let me put it this way. When you're on social media makes you a digital unit. It basically breaks you down for you to engage in practices or comments or to consume digital spaces as digital units. They don't care about your emotions. They don't care about you as a person. They don't care how much you like or what you dislike. All they're looking for is for you to consume their digital practices. Now, for my grandma, it's really great for her to scroll and see her grandkids until she sees political posts that polarizes her. In any context, it's with us. We sometimes treat God the same. God becomes a digital unit to consume. Jesus becomes a digital reality where we like or that we engage in. But you and I are more needy and complex than that. We need Jesus to transform us, not make us a transaction. So my question is, why are you coming to church today? Why are you here? Are you here because you have a chance to go out for a nice meal and experience on the main street after service? Is it because your friend invited you? Is it because it's something that you do all the time? Like, why are you here today? Are you here because someone bribed you to come here or dragged you to church? Well, I want to encourage you that God's here and wants to meet with you to transform you into his likeness. Remember, Apostle Paul put it this way to another church in ancient Corinth. He says, we all of us, who are in unveiled faces to reflect God's glory and being transformed into his image. So I'm now Jesus as a father, or I'm Jesus as a husband. It's a something that I continually work on through the power of the Holy Spirit with ever-increased glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So when we experience the Spirit, we are called to be like Jesus in everything else that we do. So for this lame beggar, it wasn't enough just to heal him supernaturally. It was to transform him to be more like Jesus. It's the same with you and me. We experience healing, and we'll get to that part, so that we are transformed to be more like Jesus. Now, in our everyday life, let's be honest, we are human beings, and sometimes we're not like Jesus, including myself. It's not that we're like Jesus all the time, but as the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and as we seek God, it gives us this great hope that we can have for our marriages, or for our families, for our work, to be more like Jesus. And Jesus has the very best for us. So even though he doesn't answer all our transactional prayers, he does answer us when we are wanting to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. That's why we do water baptism. That's why we celebrate people who want to get baptized in water, saying they are dead to the old nature. Now they want to be raised again to be changed by the transforming nature of the Holy Spirit. If we are Holy Spirit-led people, then we mirror Jesus in our lives. And the primary and ongoing work of the lame beggar is for all people to encounter salvation. He wasn't healed just for his own sake. He was healed and made whole for the sake of others. This scene that is shown behind me is the lame beggar encountering the extraordinary God. We do know that the lame beggar is over 40 years old, so he's about my age. He's probably better looking than me, but he's my age. And that means for 40 plus years, he's been begging for money. Or he knows that he has something wrong with his legs. This is his friends bringing him to the temple gates at Beautiful. This is all that he knows. But we see that Luke records that he jumped to his feet when Peter and John met with him. And he began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God. His healing is public and dramatic. And at the same time, it's an afternoon prayer. So a lot of people would have seen this as Luke records. The temple courts would have been packed with people praying to Yahweh on this ordinary day. They experience the extraordinary. Not just this man, but all the people around this man just experienced the supernatural power of God. A lame beggar that they knew and recognized for years are now walking, leaping, and praising God. We do not know this man by name, but we do know this man by his actions. In a secular, pluralistic Canada, it's not enough just to label yourself as a follower of Jesus. It's by your actions. He doesn't praise God just because of a healing. He praises God because of who God is. And that's extremely important for our neighborhood, or for your friends, or for your doubting kids that don't know Jesus. It's not enough to say, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus. It's by your actions. It doesn't mean you're perfect, because none of us here are perfect, but we see that this man reveals who God is. Not all of us experience maybe the extraordinary of a healing. But what's very interesting, when you read about healing in the New Testament, there are some people that were indignant of God's work. So in Matthew, we see this in John, we see this in through the Gospels, that when Jesus did the supernatural acts that we just talked about, not all people came to Jesus. Not all people wanted to run and follow God. So we need to know that as God heals the lame beggar or the lame man from birth or those blind from birth, only Jesus can. But the reality with it is so that other people will know who Jesus is. When all the people saw him, as Luke says, they walked and praised God. So they didn't say, oh, praise this man or praise the lame beggar. No, they praised God. They thank God for what God did through this man. They didn't compare and say, oh man, I wish God would do that for me. No, they said, wow, look at how God is moving and working. They recognized him as the same man who is sitting in the sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. They responded in praise and celebration because of the healing power of God. We call it the gospel. Salvation, as I mentioned, that word salvation, and this is not on your notes, but again, you can put it in your side notes, means zozo, S-O-Z-O. And zozo means healing. Get this. Salvation is actually healing. He wants to make you whole. So the gospel simply means not just that Jesus died on a cross and was raised on the third day so that you can go to heaven. No, that's not just it. Zozo means he saves us. He heals us from sin and from illness. He protects us. He makes us whole. He restores relationships up to us. As you read the New Testament reality, it is up to us, but he wants to restore relationships. He delivers people from wrong and harm, and he delivers us and redeems us to know God in the midst of our broken world. This is what Jesus has done for you and me. This is why we sing praises and songs of worship, because of what God has done for you and me, and invites you and me into to experience the healing power of salvation. This is the extraordinary work that God invites us to participate with in our ordinary lives. When you read the New Testament narrative, there is actually a passage of scripture that talks about 10 lepers being healed, and only one leper comes back to Jesus and says, thank you. What's very interesting with this man, the lame beggar, he doesn't get up and runs to the streets. He doesn't get up and goes home to play Nintendo or whatever video games you would love. He doesn't go and start an Instagram feed. He goes into the temple and he praises God for what God was doing in his heart. So you see that it wasn't just a physical healing here. There's salvation being revealed. There's signs of salvation and there's praising God. and jumping and walking. This is a sign of salvation, friends. It's a sign of what God is already doing in your hearts. So we have to ask ourselves, do you have a little walk in your step? When you jump, do you jump a little higher, not to hit that basketball net, but because of who Jesus is? And do your words match your actions when you praise him? Because that's what was happening with this man. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward as we get into a time of communion with Pastor Vincent and with our awesome apprentice pastor, Devin. But I want to share these questions with you before we close. I want to encourage you, as we take communion today, that you reflect and maybe share with someone your own story of how good God has been to you, of how the extraordinary happened in your ordinary life. It was crazy. Like, I wish I could bring you with me when I was sitting in a barber's chair in a packed room, as my barber is sharing story after story after story of God's extraordinary work in our ordinary lives. And then at the end, as she's about to finish my hair, she's like, can you pray for my husband? Can you pray for my daughter? And we pause and pray in that moment. It's extraordinary in the ordinary parts of your life. But I want to encourage you, he does the same for you. What is the extraordinary stories that God is doing in your life? And if you're here today and you're like, I don't know, then invite the extraordinary in. I encourage you as a follower of Jesus to discern what it means to have a transformational encounter versus a transactional encounter. This means we want to be more like Jesus. And we desire, as we seek him, to become more like him. And this week, this is our prayer as a pastoral team, that you would go to your work this week, that you would walk out these doors, that you would be with your family and friends, being able to walk, jump, and praise God. That life would be like that 3D glasses or the 5D experience when life becomes like color. So let me pray with you, and then Pastor Vincent, lead us, and Devin. Lord, we thank you for who you are and what you've done. We pray, Holy Spirit, that we would invite salvation in, not just a moment, but a person. That we would invite salvation in the areas of our life that we need healing and hope and wholeness. And we thank you for your continual work of the blood that we did sing about, of communion. But Lord, as we reflect, we invite you. We invite salvation. We invite Zozo, S-O-Z-O, into our hearts and minds and lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name.